I rediscovered a story this week that's been around for a few years. Many of you have heard it. Maybe you had forgotten about it like I had. It's one of the stories in Robert Fulghum's book, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He tells of a dreary, cold December day, windy, nasty outside, lots to do and pressure and stress weighing on him. The to-do list was long, the temper was short, and there was a knock at the door. Now what? He went to the door without a great attitude, and what he found was a small person wearing a plastic Santa mask, holding out a brown paper bag saying, "Trick or treat." What? Santa mask said again, "Trick or treat!" Fulghum was tongue-tied, not sure what to do. He reached into his pocket, found a dollar, dropped it in the bag. The little boy lifted his Santa mask, and Fulghum recognized it as Hong Duke, a little 8-year-old boy that was part of a refugee family his church had recently helped settle. Hong Duke had come by his house at Halloween, dressed as a wise man with bathrobe and wrap on his head. Hong Duke stood there, mask now off, bag in front of him, and said, "You want to hear some caroling?" Fulghum nodded, expecting the rest of the family to jump out of the bushes, so he said, "Where's the choir?" "I'm it," said the little boy. And so he began to launch forward into an up-tempo of Jingle Bells at full lung power. When he finished Jingle Bells, there was an equally enthusiastic version of what sounded like Hark the Hairy Angels Sing. And then he began to sing Silent Night. And as he hit the last strains of Sleep in Heavenly Peace, Fulghum was wet-eyed, tears running down his cheeks. He reached back into his pocket, found a $5 bill, put it in the bag. Hong Duke smiled, began to back up, and as he turned to jump off the porch, because when you're 8, you have to jump, not go downstairs, he turned over his shoulder and said, "Merry Christmas, God bless you, and trick or treat." And off he ran. Hong Duke didn't have all the details straight yet, but Fulghum reflects on that moment, on that dreary, dark, depressing kind of day, and figures Hong Duke had discovered better than most of us the joy of Christmas. Fulghum called him Hong Duke, the one-man choir delivering Christmas door to door. And it makes me wonder, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to view Christmas, to view life, whatever our age, through the eyes of that 8-year-old going door to door, bringing Christmas joy? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have our hearts full to overflowing with the message of this season? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have our hearts and minds filled with the joy that we talk about so easily in this season, but sometimes struggle to really experience? Yes, there is joy in the season, in the giving of gifts, the time with family, but for many of us, the month of December is stressful, tiring, and I bet at some point over the next day or so, some of us are going to say, "I'm glad that's over." And yet the message of this day is one that can bring true joy when we understand the gift that God has given us. God became flesh and dwelt among us. God entered the world as Emmanuel. God with us. The message of Christmas is that baby born and placed in a feeding trough. was the very presence of God who came to show us what God is like. There are, I don't know how many, theology books that wrestle in great length and with difficult-to-read words trying to explain the incarnation. I've had chapters, I've had whole books of theology trying to explain what it meant for God to become flesh, for Jesus to be God and human. And having collected some of those books in college and seminary, I can tell you they're probably in a box or sitting with dust on my shelf. But at the heart of the message, in simple terms, I love the way Clarence Jordan describes it. Clarence Jordan in the mid-1900s was committed to living out and practicing racial reconciliation in the Deep South. He was also a Greek scholar and translated the scriptures into Southern vernacular called the Cotton Patch Gospels. They're worth looking up sometime. They were written a while back, but to read the story of Jesus in Southern is a treat. And as he reflected on what the incarnation is about, he said Jesus was the spitting image of the Almighty. Jesus was the spitting image of the Almighty. When we hear of Jesus, look at Jesus, listen to Jesus, we see and learn and hear what God is like. God showed himself to us. Instead of being limited behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go, Jesus came and was born in a stable, placed in a feeding trough, surrounded by the unexpected like shepherds to remind us that God came to us to show himself to us, to wrap his arms around us and let us know we are loved. And when the shepherds first saw the angels, the words out of their mouth, as our children knew, was, "Do not be afraid." As I said to the kids, if I'd been a shepherd, I'd have been scared. Things like that appearing in the dark make you wonder, I'm sure. But that word of hope, "Do not be afraid," was not only a message to the shepherds in that moment, but it was, I think, a message of hope to all of us. Over and over again, when God appears to the prophets or to anyone, so often the first words were, "Do not be afraid." Partly because the natural response to something unexplainable is to be afraid. But also because at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of the Christmas story, is an invitation that even in a scary world, even in a world where that things make us anxious and nervous, the message of God is, do not be afraid, because God with us has come to us. God has come to us and is with us still. God, Creator, all-powerful, sustainer, is personal, having taken on human flesh to show himself to us. The story is told of a recovering alcoholic who went to church one day on Christmas Eve. He was struggling, he was right on the edge. He wasn't doing well. He went in. He sat down. He didn't really want to be there. He'd made a mess of his life. He'd ruined his family. He sat down in church, and a family of four sat down in front of him, all excited about Christmas Eve, and he couldn't take it. He got up and decided, I can't do this. I've got to leave. He wanted to go get a drink. The pastor was in the vestibule, caught him on his way out, and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get a drink." If I had had it together, my family could have been with me, but I've blown it and I can't deal with it anymore. The pastor caught him, stopped him and said, could you wait here for just a couple more minutes? He went to the front. The service hadn't started. Pastor got the attention of those who were there and simply said, if anyone here knows Bill Wilson, and if you don't know, Bill Wilson was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. If any of you here know Bill Wilson, could you step out into the vestibule for a moment? A friend may need you. And from several places in the sanctuary, individuals got up, went out to the vestibule, and this man who was on his way out of the door in despair was surrounded in a group hug, in encouragement, and folks saying, come, sit with me. I'm here for you. In the midst of the fear, the struggle, the presence of God came in the flesh in the form of others who understood. To us, in a scary world, in a broken world, God came in the flesh to walk with us, to understand us, and to help us understand Him so that we can hear the words of the angel saying, do not be afraid. We are not alone. Do you remember the classic TV show, A Charlie Brown's Christmas, that shows every year? Over the last couple years, I've noticed several folks have noticed a wonderful little moment that I had never paid attention to, and you may have seen this on social media somewhere. You remember the point where Charlie Brown's had enough, he's trying to put together the Christmas play, nothing's working, he's losing his mind, he's frustrated, he's all ready to throw in the towel, and he just in frustration says, can anyone explain to me the meaning of Christmas? Linus answers. You remember Linus, the one who always had his security blanket with him, sometimes sucking his thumb, holding on to that which gave him a sense of security. Linus says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And he begins to recite the Christmas story from Luke 2. And I hadn't noticed this until somebody started sharing this clip and pointing it out. It's been 50 years since that first aired, and if you go back and you watch it in the moment where Linus is standing there and says, and the angel said to them, fear not, he drops his blanket. He lets go of that which he'd been clinging to for security, and with boldness tells the rest of the story. Fear not, and the blanket drops. There is the invitation of Christmas, to let go of all that we hold on to in fear and know that God has come to walk in our midst. Now, it is interesting to note, if you continue to watch, by the next scene, Linus has his blanket again. And don't we far too often make those moments where we drop our security blankets only to grab them back? But may we this year, as we wrap up 2016 and head into 2017, be ready to trust the goodness of a God who came to us in the flesh. May we accept the gift of life that comes through the Christ child. And may we truly drop the security blanket, whatever form that takes in our lives, and hold the hand of Jesus who came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And to be reminded of the message of the angels, do not be afraid. God has come to us. Will you pray with me? We thank you, God, for coming to us, for loving us, for the gift of Jesus on this day. Help us to let go of all that holds us back from you. Help us to let go of all that keeps us from experiencing the fullness of your love. Help us to trust you and discover that in you, surrounded by you, we need not fear. May we experience in wonderful ways the meaning and message of Christmas. God with us. Amen.